We check in for the second time this week. We talked to you Tuesday before the Iowa game, and now we talk to you before we get the Big Ten final wrapped up. The regular season wraps up on – are there games on Sunday? There have to be games on Sunday. I must be missing that.
Yeah, I believe there are.
Right, because Wisconsin can't play Thursday, Saturday, so they're going to have to play Sunday as well. And the Hoosiers' final game is Michigan State noon on Saturday. The Spartans winning last night after digging themselves a nice hole against Purdue. They come back and win 72-66 on senior night in East Lansing. But when we talked Tuesday to get ready for these final two games, Indiana was in a pretty advantageous, or at least it looked like on paper, position. Hey, you're going to play your last two games at home. Assembly Hall has been a really solid place to play, with the exception of the Purdue hiccup, and everything was kind of normal and sunshine was out. And what a difference 48 hours makes, because I don't remember talking about job security or contract buyouts on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's certainly been, I don't know if Iowa was a must win, but it was certainly a very important game for a number of reasons, and Indiana just, well, I think everybody kind of knows what happened in that game.
Yeah, they didn't fire, and I think that's the frustrating part of the fans. Obviously, you attend every game, you see the crowd, you hear the crowd, you feel the crowd. When was the last time you saw people leaving the exits early, besides when Indiana was up 100 points against Maryland or Minnesota?
No. I mean, honestly, what I compare it to, you know, they have us sit on that press row area. It's kind of raised up behind center court. And, Big Ten games, it usually takes me about 10 minutes to navigate through the crowd, out of that and back to the press room, just because you've got the crowd coming out at the same time that we're trying to kind of get down to the court and across. It took me like two on Tuesday night because, I mean, by the end of the game, frankly, the building looked like it looks at the end of, like you said, one of those, maybe even one of those non-conference games where,
right,
you know, it's out of hand and everybody's
Tuesday night, 3 days before Christmas, and everybody's going home, right?
Yeah, I mean, that is honestly what it looked and felt like. And I cannot remember, I really cannot remember seeing that in the 10 years I've been around, or I guess this will be year 10, I've been around IU basketball, either as a student or as a reporter, or both, I guess. I cannot remember seeing a crowd like that at the end of a Big Ten game.
Our guest is Zach Osterman. He is the beat writer for the Indianapolis Star. He checks in here on a Thursday morning. For those of you expecting Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer, Sue is under the weather and Keith is out of town, so we went with little Hoosier Hoops. That seems to be moving the meter this morning because of the play we've been talking about on Tuesday night. The frustrating part from a fan's point of view, the frustrating part from a coach's point of view, and the frustrating part from a player's point of view, it's 24-23 after Perea gets a run-out layup because Peter Jock doesn't rotate back to play defense. There's 6 minutes to go in half number one. Indiana never leads or ties the game after that. The last 26 minutes in a game where Indiana is fighting to try to get into the top four, trying to fight to find some momentum after 6 days off, after a cold shooting night at Northwestern, what went wrong?
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about the technical of it, I think it's the offense again. Indiana missed its last 7 three-pointers of the first half, wound up hitting 7 in the second half, but still couldn't get things going. Sort of an unofficial media tally. We had them for, I think, 20 missed layups and dunks, which is, you know, I mean, look, Iowa's got some length, got some size, no question, but you're also not going against Ben Wallace or even, you know, A.J. Hammonds, to use the maybe more direct example in there. Inside, if you're playing Iowa, there was just some bad finishing from the Hoosiers.
Yeah, it's out of control play.
And then at the other end of the floor, I mean, it's a lot of the same. I apologize, I don't have the box score right in front of me, but it was a lot of what we've seen the rest of the season, is that if this team's offense can't kind of get its mojo working, then its defense is not really capable of following suit.
You know what? I find that interesting because I opined last night in the In the Zone program that I do with my buddy Dave Novak. We talk a little sports Mondays and Wednesdays, and we talk IU basketball. And I don't have the numbers in front of me either. Tell me about IU's defense in the league last year. This team couldn't score last year to save their lives, but their defense was pretty good.
Well, no, they were an outstanding defensive team.
Well, what happened in 1 year? That's what we couldn't figure out last night. Will Sheehy graduated, and he wasn't stopping anybody. How did that defense morph?
I don't know that I'd say Will Sheehy. I think you lose a talented defender in Will Sheehy.
An individual defender.
You certainly lose I mean, Indiana's not had a consistent rim protector this year. Hunter Mascara-Perea has missed 10 games through injury. There have been other times, certainly after the injury, where he felt like he was still trying to kind of get his legs back under him. And even at his best, I don't think he has been nearly as good, both as a rim protector and as a rebounder, as Noah Vonleh. Not that many people are. Obviously, Vonleh was an outstanding rebounder last year.
How many games did Vonleh miss last year with his hurt leg?
Like, I think two.
And late in the season, okay.
Yeah, it was very late in the season. So I mean,
Indiana was winning games last year, 59-55. They're grinding out games here and there. And the point I was trying to make, and I don't know, you probably don't have the answer, I don't know who does, is how did the team play good defense last year with less talent, and now they have more talent and play worse defense?
Well, I guess I wouldn't necessarily argue they have more talent, but one way or the other, I do think that they've opened things up more, and I think that just naturally, I mean, look, you and I, as you well know, are soccer fans, but draw an analogy, Liverpool last year scores 100-plus goals, also gives up 50-plus goals. Part of that is because they chose to play a very open, very attacking, very offense-minded style. I'm not saying that Indiana can't play that way and also be a good defensive team. We've seen that in 2011, 12, 13. But I do think that especially if you don't have that natural presence inside to defend and rebound around the rim, just sort of everything, then you probably are, if you play this sort of wide-open game, going to leave yourself more exposed defensively as well. I guess my point is I don't think this team is well-rounded enough to really – maybe you could say the same about last year's team because of the shortcomings with jump shooting, but I don't think this team is well-rounded enough to really rev it up high offensively without maybe leaving some holes at the back. And in particular, transition defense, I mean, it's hard to quantify because it's not a stat.
Well, it's unbelievable because when you have athletic players, you just say, hey, run that way really fast. And that's what fans get tired of. That's why fans are leaving the building. That's why fans are voicing their this because when you don't play hard, Indiana basketball fans see that. They might not be able to tell you why to dig on a down screen and why you got to overshift on your protection on the weak side after the third pass and why the corner drive is important, but they know when you're not playing hard.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I think they also understand when a team is just sort of losing all of its steam. I mean, this team's lost 7 of 11. They've lost 4 of 6. First time since spring of 2011 that they've lost twice in a row at home. I mean, this.
And let's be fair, half of those 4 wins are against Rutgers. I mean, those are facts.
No, well, half of the 7 wins are against Rutgers.
Well, they're four.
No, you're right. Sorry, I get those. Never mind.
That's all right. No, we just want to make sure that we're pointing out facts here. The 4-7 in their last 11 games, and half of those wins are against Rutgers. The other one was Minnesota and Michigan, the other ones too. So, again, all of those teams are ninth or worse in the Big Ten right now, and you have to beat those teams. I understand that. But when you give up 83 points to Purdue, 72 to Northwestern, a very light offensive team, you give up 77 to Iowa, which is, I think, 19-1 now when they score more than 64. So when you don't defend at a level that you need to, you put so much pressure on that offense. And I remember 2 weeks ago after maybe it was the Rutgers game, or what was before that, the Purdue game, somebody asked the freshman, hey, you guys hit the wall yet? I think they've hit the wall.
I mean, I certainly do think if you look at
34 minutes a game after 25 games is going to take its toll.
Well, absolutely, and you know, Indiana has counted on some freshmen this year, Jim Spikeman, Rob Johnson, obviously. You know, I don't just want to say, oh, they look tired, because I think everybody's going to look tired if you catch them at the right moment in the basketball game. Blackman has struggled a lot on the road. There's no question about that. It was actually, I think Yogi Ferrell and Troy Williams were the ones that struggled more in the Iowa game.
6 of 24 combined.
6 of 24. So it in general, you wonder if just this season is maybe wearing on this team.
Well, you know what? But we saw this at the end of last year. We saw the championship team that came down the stretch and kind of wasn't playing its best basketball at the end of the year either. Is there a pattern here that we have to be concerned about?
I mean, frankly, there might be. I don't know. I don't know how easy it is to quantify. I mean, you gotta. I've been meaning to, frankly, to go back and look at some of the records.
But well, here's what we do. Here's what we do know: they don't end the season 7-1 the last 3 years. They haven't been doing it. It's been it's been right at 500 or near that. And I'll be interesting to see those numbers.
I mean, I really can't disagree with that. I think it's fair, at least in the last 2 years, to look at it and say you seem to have some, and particularly this year, obviously, you seem to really have some mojo going through the end of January. And then you hit February and, you know, kind of what tails off there. And in particular, sort of, I mean, the Purdue loss at home, I recognize Purdue is a much improved team this year. I'm not disputing that. I recognize that Indiana caught Northwestern on a heater.
The Northwestern one got beat 26 a night the next night out.
Yeah, but at the same time, these are matchups that you need to, that you should be making favorable to you in the situation that you're in that moment.
I agree.
You were a month ago. That's kind of the other part of it, I guess. A month ago, Indiana was beating Ohio State when it shot 4 of 18 from the floor.
Right.
So it's not like they shot at Ohio State out of the gym. Thank you.
No, they won a tough game at Illinois. They won a tough game at Nebraska. That's fine. But the whole point is you have to play the whole schedule. You have to play the whole season.
And that's my point if you're asking about February and March is what changed because you were able to both play your best basketball and whip Maryland at home, and you were also be able to play something vastly well below your best basketball and beat Ohio State at home and beat Illinois on the road. And here a month later, it feels like those performances are a memory. So, I mean,
I'll give you a Liverpool analogy. They don't hand out trophies in November.
Well, Liverpool were like third in November.
Zach Osterman's our guest. We're going to have a laugh and talk some basketball this morning. And we haven't even got to what's making the news today. We've talked about Indiana's performance leading up to this, and I think that's the facts and that's the angles why people were upset on Tuesday night, why people were leaving early. And now after the loss, here comes the – I mean, not even when the ink dried, when the Indianapolis Star hit your driveway on Wednesday morning came the, hey – what's going on? Why after the Iowa game is this quote unquote referendum being floated around about what's going to happen with the future of IU basketball? What happened to playing the season out? Why is it that one game? Why wasn't it the Northwestern game?
Well, I think at a basic level anyway, the Iowa game is what really is maybe really playing Indiana back onto the bubble at this point. They needed, the Northwestern game needs to be a part of that. Because it's the first sub RPI top 100 team that's beaten Indiana this year, so it's the first really bad loss, if you want to use that term in a sort of Selection Sunday sense on Indiana's NCAA tournament resume. But it's the Iowa game that really has started to sort of raise doubts about hold on, this team was cruising toward the field of 68 a month ago. With the night they beat Maryland, they were ranked in the top 25. You could almost even see them rising to a 4 seed in certain situations if they could sort of pick and choose, the right wins here and there.
Let me jump in real quick because at that time 5-1 tied for first in the Big Ten. There were big time college basketball people saying, what do you mean Tom Crean's job's on the hot seat? You're totally ridiculous. You have no idea what you're talking about. That's what they said back in January.
Well, and I guess if you want to come back to your point about you have to let the whole season play out, I think that's kind of what we've reached.
Think?
And it's just at this point, I guess, where obviously no one – I mean, Indiana fans were vocal in their displeasure about missing the tournament just a year after winning an outright Big Ten title. And it felt like some things got corrected. Certainly there were the off-the-court issues early in the season, but that seemed to actually kind of – sort of rallied this team together. They overcame, obviously, some personnel and roster limitations. And on January 23rd, they're 15-4. They're 5-1 in the Big Ten. Again, they're ranked. They've just, I mean, we time has proven Maryland to be a very good team.
Absolutely.
If not, maybe the best matchup. Indiana may not be Maryland's best matchup because of its shooting ability, but they wiped the floor with Maryland at Assembly Hall, hit 15 three-pointers, win by 19.
That's an absolute fact.
Just absolutely sort of ran them out of the gym.
And the frustration from Indiana fans is,
a half later, that it's just sort of, it's tailed off more than really maybe it should have from that point. And there's a dozen different reasons for that. But Iowa was kind of the catalytic moment for people to say, hold on, this team really is flirting with playing its way out of the NCAA tournament, which is hard to fathom, hard to process, because there was a time where it wasn't just like Indiana was a really strong 8 seed or a decent 7 seed. There was a time where Indiana was firmly in the field, no question, no doubt about it. And look, they still may well be. Lose Saturday, and even if you lose that first-round Big Ten tournament game, there is still a chance Indiana loses out and gets into the NCAA tournament.
Jerry Palm.
But Iowa was the game that really made a lot of people perk up around college basketball and say, hold on a second, this team is not just headed in the wrong direction come tournament time or doesn't have momentum come tournament time. There are some legit – this team had better start feeling concerned about its postseason resume, because it's really starting to look questionable.
Jerry Palm, who does the brackets for CBS or whoever he does it for, and is quite well respected, he's a Purdue guy, says Indiana is in regardless. That's good news. You've seen other people like Joe Lunardi have them in the last four in. Noon on Saturday, Michigan State, Indiana, the final regular season Big Ten game. The Hoosiers will be a 7 or an 8 seed in the Big Ten tournament next week in Chicago. That starts on Wednesday. So a lot of hoops going on. And obviously, Fred Glass made some noise yesterday afternoon about saying that I don't want to screw the quote up here, but it's something about Coach Crean's job is safe. Tom is definitely not coaching for his job on Saturday, he told the Herald Times. One could argue that decision could be made already. One could be deciding that will be determined after the Big Ten tournament or the NCAA tournament. What is the future of IU basketball, in your opinion, in the next 3 weeks?
Well, I mean, I think whatever it is, it's not something that will just be decided by the next game or the next two games. I mean,
that's not how a big time program runs things.
Exactly. And to Fred Glass's credit, I mean, I think back, and I'm not trying to reopen old wounds for anybody, but I think back to the way that he handled certainly the Bill Lynch question in 2010. Indiana went 5-7 that football season.
Should have been Purdue, 7-5.
Beat Purdue at Purdue. You can point straight to a drop touchdown pass in the end zone. In the
Ben Chappell trips over the 1 yard line. Yeah,
against,
I can go through them all.
Against Iowa. So a lot of people said after that season, because there was a feeling like Lynch was kind of coaching for his job that season. And a lot of people said after they beat Purdue, you know what, this is successful. This is promising. He deserves more time. And the next day, Fred Glass decides to relieve him of his duties and move the program in another direction. And his argument was, I don't want to just make a decision about a job that's high profile and important over one result. It's great to beat Purdue at Purdue. It's great to beat Purdue anywhere. But that alone can't be the reason that we're holding on to or getting rid of somebody. I need to look at the bigger picture, and this is me looking at the bigger picture and making a decision from that.
And let's remember, Fred Glass has been a politician. Fred Glass is a lawyer, and he knows how to use words to use words. And again, there's no manual or book that says, well, you said 2 weeks ago that doesn't really work in this world, does it?
No, and again, it's also, I mean, look, if Indiana were to win on Saturday, then win a game in the Big Ten tournament, then slip up and win twice in the NCAA tournament, maybe upset a 2 seed or something, well, now, you know, are we really having these same conversations? I don't know. Now, how realistic is that? I also don't know. But the point I'm trying to make is you can never make a decision like that based on just one game or two games. I don't think you can ever call a coach into your office and say, if you don't win on Saturday,
yeah, it doesn't make sense.
We're going to have serious.
That happens. That happens in the movies.
Obviously, this will all be taken into account. You'll take everything that has happened this season, and if you are truly reviewing a coach's entire sort of job status, his or her entire tenure into account, you can't just look at one game or 1 week and say, well, this was clearly the moment where you lost. You won or lost the right to come back next season.
No, it doesn't. But what Fred Glass did see on Tuesday night was people leaving for the exits early and booing. Those are two things that were clear over the television that I heard from my couch, and I don't think it's a referendum, but that is what the fan base. You don't boo unless you want to boo. No one tells you at this mark you start booing. And I know sometimes it's follow the leader, but that's all I heard, and that's what happened.
And I don't think that I've covered Glass since he took the job in 2009, and I do not believe that would be lost on him one bit.
All right, good stuff. I don't mean to cut you short. Keep your phone next to you. We'd love to have you back on if this story or the season tends to take any twists and turns. We're out of time this morning. Great stuff. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on, Glass, as always.
Zach Osterman, the beat writer for the Indiana Hoosiers, at Zach Osterman.